He's going to stand up here. So when I call your name, you come up, and Brother Dave is going to hand you your certificate. And we've also got you a Walmart gift card on there. For you kindergartners, spend this wisely, okay? All right. Don't buy all bubble gum at one time. Let's diversify a little bit, you know what I mean? So our first kindergartner, Miss Magnolia Hauser. I think they're going camping. They're going camping, right? Where's family? They're going camping. Mr. Jax Johnson.
So if they're not here, do we get a split, the gift?
We do. That is, yeah. Hey. That's in the bylaw. Yeah. Yes, that is in the bylaw. Mr. Jack Johnson. Here he comes, right there. Stay right here, yeah.
Stay right here before we're done.
My little buddy, Mr. John Watson Lindbergh. Watson!
All right.
Just give me the gift card, he said. Just give me the gift card, man. I don't need you to shake my hand. Just give me the gift card. Do we have any more kindergartners here that have graduated that didn't get their name on the list that would like to come up? What do you young men think about going on to first grade? What did you think about kindergarten?
All right.
Okay. All right. Great job. Okay, now the big eighth grade. Golly, this is going to make us all feel a little bit old right here. These are, yeah. Mr. Ben Watson. He's behind me. Oh, okay. Look at them flowing locks.
Look at that. I'm so jealous.
I know. Look at that. Wonder what that feels like.
We used to know.
I know we used to know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's scary is you may look like this.
I know, yeah, get ready. Get ready, yeah, yeah. Lizabella Keller. Tristan Cruz. Abigail Elwell.
Congratulations.
Do we have any more eighth graders that did not get signed up? Come on.
That's why I'm here.
I know, that's why I'm here.
I'm not the worst person
in the world. Amanda loves me now because I asked her.
Chelsea Steinmeier. I didn't want to get her name wrong. She's also going on a trip with us for the first time this year. Any other eighth graders? Going once? Going twice? All right, what we think about going to high school?
Wait a minute, they're kind of already there, right?
Huh?
Closer to being out of school.
Closer to being out of school, wow. Wow, anybody else? What are we thinking about big freshman year coming up? Scary? Okay, just trust in the Lord. He'll get you through it. So let's give our eighth graders one more big round of applause. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Okay. All right, now our high schoolers. I don't know if they're... Mr. Austin Schultz. I see him back there. Here comes the big dog. Yeah. Miss Maddie Rogers. I don't think Maddie's with us today. I think she's out of town. Mr. Patrick Buckner.
There we go.
We've got our scholarship also coming up after this. Is there anybody else high school that didn't get their name on the list? Abigail, get up here. Miss Abby Suttles.
No, we got them on the scholarship.
Wait a minute.
We got scholarship.
We got a scholarship. Sit back down.
If you did not.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Scholarship,
yeah.
But still graduate high school.
Yeah.
That's kind of over.
Yeah.
Hitting that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll just let them hang on. We'll get scholarships up.
Are you excited?
I reckon.
Okay, I reckon. Okay. Good job.
Good job. This should be all of our scholarships.
Yeah, no, this is we're going to do college first.
And you're going to do them last.
So we're going to do our college first, then we're going to do our scholarships last before we do that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're going to keep you in suspense. Okay. First up, college, Mr. Daniel Suttles. He's on security team.
Okay, gotcha.
Make him get in here, Eric.
Tell him he's holding up Preacher David.
This young man grew up in this church. Some of you know him as Eli. I know him as Eazy-E. So, Mr. Eli Bohanna. Right. There comes it. Mr. Suttles following him up there.
Congratulations, E.I. Mr. Daniel.
Get on up here.
Congratulations, my brother. Hang on right here, man.
I don't see him here, but Mr. Nate Vaughn.
Nate Vaughn. Didn't make it today.
Yeah. Okay. Miss Ivy Bells.
There she is here.
There she is. She's here. Yeah.
I should have went over.
Right, John. Miss Shelby Moore. Yeah, she's here. Yeah, she's here.
We got a
chair crowd
right here. Chair crowd. That's awesome. Congratulations.
I know this young lady's on her way back from the beach, not here, but a big deal to me and my wife, Miss Riley Henry.
All right.
Yes. So we're proud. Any more college graduates that we missed? You get a $25 gift card and a permission to go on and get a job in life. You want anything else? No. Okay. All right, now for our scholarships. First up, Mr. Ty Trenum. I think I saw yesterday, if y'all don't know, Ty is a fisherman. He's a bass fisherman, and he has earned the scholarship, and he's going over to Bryan College to continue to bass fish. But yesterday they ended up what place in the state? And fourth in the tournament and fourth in the state and bass fishing. So congratulations on that too. Yes. Yes. Now, Miss Abigail Suttles. She also found out today she will be playing the piano during invitation.
All right.
About 10 minutes ago.
Whenever we get to that
point. Yeah, whenever we get to that point. Mr. Ethan Reagan, the sharpshooter.
Here we go.
Mr. Andon Mashburn. Andon has received a scholarship to dance at, he's playing football. Look at him.
Congratulations, brother. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
Is Brady here?
No. Mr. Brady Hammonds. I don't think he's here, but Mr. Brady Hammonds. Is Preston here? No. All right. Mr. Preston Green. He's not here this weekend. So when we can, we do a $500 scholarship. There's some paperwork involved, and all these kids did it. We are excited for them. We're excited for their next journey in life. So know this. It takes this whole church to raise all these kids, okay? Don't ever forget that. It takes every one of us, all right, to raise all these kids. So let's give everybody one more big round of applause. Thank you. Abby Soto. Get up here. Why do you...
Did we not?
No. High school? Yeah. Is it high school or are you middle school?
Middle school.
Oh, no. Miss Abby Soto, high school. Give her a big round of applause.
Looking around.
Honey, I don't ask.
You just got a bar
jam.
Well,
I'm not just
going to
be like, hey, if
you
want me, give me stuff.
No.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, I got the S.
Oh, S-O-T-O.
There you go. Let's make it official. Congratulations.
All right, anybody else?
Bye, nursery.
Oh, my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those songs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those songs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those songs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Even the sparrow has a place to lay its head. So why would I let worry steal my breath? Even the roses you have clothed in brilliant red, still I'm the one you love more than this. You
Good morning. Good to see all of you with us. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll get into our scripture this morning. We're going to be looking at, of course, we added the scripture there from Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 of Joshua. So go ahead and kind of get used to Joshua for a little bit. We're going to be there this summer, not necessarily on Sunday morning services, but our beach trip, coming into Vacation Bible School, kind of throwing around the idea of Private Joshua and the things that he went through. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua a lot this summer. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off today of him being a graduate. You know, the parallels there. And if I'm not mistaken, I may have preached about this last year. The book of Joshua is a fascinating book. If you are wanting to get in the Old Testament and dig and just see just how to live your life, how to be a Christian, how to be godly, it is chocked full of just truth and reality. We'll begin in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is not worldly prosperity and worldly success. He's noting that it's spiritual prosperity and spiritual success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Father, we come to you to thank you. You continued to encourage Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Numerous times you shared this message with him. It's important for us, God, to be reminded of that as well, that we need to be strong. We need to be of a good courage because we're not fighting this battle alone. We're not in this world alone. Even when the world may forsake us, our friends and family may even forsake us, but we know we are never alone when we have you. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for all the reassurance that you give us, for the vision that you give us. And as we think about graduation today, we reflect on it. We think about stepping into a new area of life that's unknown to us, as our young people are doing, even within the next few weeks. God, we just pray that you'll remind us of some things that are very important that you showed Joshua. Help us to see, God, the things we need to focus on and the priorities in our life that we need to consider. Forgive me of my sins. Use me for your glory. Help me not be a hindrance to your word today, but I pray that your word goes out. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. When we're thinking about graduation, obviously when you get to that high school age, you're graduating high school, going off into college, or even a bigger deal, you're graduating college, stepping out into whatever career it is that you've trained for and you've prepared for and got the educational background for, you're going into the unknown. It's a big world out there, and the world's scary sometimes, right? Amen. Even at my age, the world's still scary, you know. So what I wanted to do is give a few things to consider, that if we are stepping out into this big world, what are some things that if I were given a graduation speech, what would it be like? And this is kind of what it would be like. This is some things I want all of us that are venturing out into the new place, the unknown. You know, maybe you're not graduating high school or college today. Maybe you've been around a pretty good bit, but maybe you're just seeing some transitions in life. Maybe you're entering into a new phase of life. Whatever it might be, maybe there are new challenges that you're facing. You know, as we get older, we never cease to enter into unknown areas of life. And those can make us nervous. Those can bring a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. So what do we need to do? One thing is, I believe we need to reel ourselves back in. Let's reel it back in. And instead of letting the world dictate how we feel and how we should respond to things, let's set up a list of priorities, okay, so that we'll be safe and we'll be steadfast and sure. The number one is this: believe God.
Amen.
I'm preaching it to a church here in East Tennessee. We know what it means to say believe God. And if I say, or I ask you, do you believe God? I hope and pray that everybody in here would say, yes, we believe God. If we believe God, are we actually putting into action what God's telling us to do? Because if we really say we believe God, then that means we believe Him enough to not only believe what His Word says, but to believe Him enough to put into action the things He's telling us that we need to do. In Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 8, it says, "And I am come down," this is God speaking to Moses, "I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large and a land," note this, "flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the other ites that are there." We jump into Numbers. As we get closer to entering into that actual land, 40 years basically later, in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27, they told him and said, "We came unto the land." This is Joshua and Caleb bringing the report on the land after they went to spy the land and see what they had there within the land of Canaan. Said they told him, they said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." They gathered up a cluster of grapes that was so massive that they had to put it on a massive pole, and it took two men to carry it. So they're seeing the fruit of the land. Isn't it wonderful, too, how that when Joshua and Caleb went over and saw the land, they saw it to be exactly as God described it. I'm not saying that it was literally milk and honey pouring down the river, but they saw that it was a land that was blessed, a land that was rich, a land that had everything they needed. And so when these guys went in, only 2 out of 10 believed God so much as they acted on the Word of God. I'm going to venture to say that if you were to ask all 12 of those spies that went out before they went out, "Do you believe God?" And all of them would say, "Oh, absolutely, we believe God." Then they went and spied the land. They came back. Each individually gave their own report. 10 out of the 12 said, "Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a pretty good looking land, but you know something? There are giants there. There are people living there. There are people not going to like it when we come in and tell them they got to move out so that we can move in." So there are people that can say they believe God, but when it comes up to the point that we have to become involved in the process, we're not so easy to say we believe God anymore. How often does God just perform miracles and you have zero involvement in it? Well, we know God performs miracles every day. Not really going there, but I'm just saying when we are talking to God, when we're praying to God, when God's speaking back to us, when His Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing, when He speaks to us about something He wants to accomplish, how often are we involved in the process of what He wants to get done? I'm going to say 99.99999%. That's why He came to us, I believe. Because God has a job for us, a task for us, something He wants us to do. And so we've got to be to the point that we're not just saying we believe God, but we're believing God to the point of action. He said, I'm giving you this land that flows with milk and honey. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. You're going to have it to possess. When they got to the land and saw that it was possessed by a bunch of giants among a whole lot of other Ites, all the Ite families were there and possessed the land, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they thought they were going to go in and it'd be uninhabited, or maybe go in and see a whole bunch of houses built, a bunch of towns that had already been built and lifted up, and just nobody there. I don't know what they expected when they got to the land of Canaan, but it's pretty much as if you walk into a place and somebody's just living there, but God said, I give it to you. Well, yeah, they had to believe God that God said he's going to give them the land, but they also had to believe that God had a part for them to play in possessing that land. Joshua, the graduate, stepped up to the plate. He went in there and he had to fight against almost every city, every Ite that was in there. Joshua had to stand against them except Jericho. Jericho fell, the first fruits of the land of Canaan. But after that, they had to battle their way through, to fight their way through to possess the land. So do we really believe God? Or do we believe God as long as he does all the heavy lifting, performs the miracle, and we have to do absolutely nothing? See, there's a difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan. Crossing the Red Sea, God knew the people were already, they were already displaced. They were already discouraged. They were anxious. They were fearful. They knew that the Egyptians were coming to kill them. I mean, they had a lot of stuff going on. And so God knew that I can't put a whole lot more pressure on them here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up the Red Sea. They don't have to do anything. They just stand there. And then when I get it open, they're going to cross over on dry land. God held it up for, I'm going to say, about 8 hours or so as they crossed over into that to the other side. God closed it back. You know the story. But when they got to the Jordan River, they'd had about 40 years experience with God. They kind of knew what God was like. They knew their faith needed to be increased a little bit, their relationship with God a little bit different than it was before. So when they got to the River Jordan, God said, I'm going to get you across the other side, but the priests have to put their foot in the water first. So those holding the Ark of the Covenant had to dip in first. And he said, as soon as their foot hits the water, I'm going to hold it back. Remember that it was at flood stages. I think he intentionally did it then, don't you? Just to say, hey, I can hold it back regardless of how much water it is. God's showing off. That's what God does. So he held back the water once the foot went in. You see, that's involvement in the process of what God wants to do in our life. It's not that God had to have a priest stick his foot in the water for it to go back. It's not that God had to have Noah work for a bunch of years building on the ark in order for God to be able to spare him when the flood came. But it's God allowing us to be involved in the process so we can experience blessings, so we can receive those, that rich relationship with God. It's not that God has to have us, but God wants to have us so that we can build our relationship with him. So if we're going to enter into something new, if we're going to enter into a new phase of life, enter into the workforce, enter into a career, in whatever it is you're entering into, we got to start believing God, and more than it being lip service, we've got to really believe God to the point that we're willing to act on what it is God is telling us to do. Do we decide whether we want to obey God? Is it contingent on how difficult it is for us? I got a feeling with me, sometimes it depends on how much it costs me. I'm not just talking about money. Time is a valuable thing, right? What I'm going to have to do, how much sacrifice I'm going to have to make to see this thing come through. So we've got to get to the point that if we're venturing out into a new reality, we better start believing God. Because you know something? We're believing something. You're believing something. You're putting your confidence and your stock in something. It may be you. It may be somebody else. It may be the bank. It may be your job. It may be, I don't know. But we need to start putting it in God because that is most important. Secondly, we need to be praying hard and praying often. Amen. Nothing better than prayer. I know sometimes people will say, we'll say, I'm going to pray. We're going to have to pray about that. We have to pray about this. We say, oh no, has it come to that? Has it come to where we're going to have to really start praying about it? Man, prayer ought to be something we're doing every day, all day, anyway, you know? Listen to these scriptures, Ephesians 6:18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Do you pray? I mean, I know that prayer is, you know, blessing your meal. Prayer is when you wake up, when you go to bed. Prayer is when you read a little devotional, you know, and you're spending that time alone. You're specific in communicating with God. But, you know, aside from those intentional times that we set up to communicate with God, do you have a relationship with God? Are you talking to Him through the day? You know, I'm one of those that does. I talk to Him as if He is here because He is here. I mean, I don't see Him. I'm not hearing the audible voice of the Lord as He speaks back to me, but I don't have to. You don't have to hear the audible voice of God to know what to do. The Spirit of God lives inside of you if you're a child of God, and He will speak to you that you know who it is talking. You can be married to somebody, you can be a roommate of somebody, and never know them, yet spend hours and hours together and never know them. You can be saved by the blood of Christ and have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and never really know Jesus Christ. We can be saved, we can say we believe in Him, and we can embrace the fact that there's no way I'm going to heaven other than believing, and we can believe in the finished work that Christ accomplished on the cross, but we can have zero relationship with Him, and man, we're losing out if we're not. We need to pray hard, and we need to pray often to build that relationship up with God. How do you expect to get to know somebody? I know when people are dating, when you first go out with somebody, you first date a few times, I hear it from everybody. When I do the premarital counseling and stuff, it's very common to say, you know something? When we first started going out, man, we'd just sit and talk all the time. Why? Because you find each other interesting. Because you want to know about each other. Because you want to know your likes and your dislikes. Because you want to get kind of under the skin and understand more about how they work and what they're all about. What are their goals? What are their aspirations? You want to know things that they enjoy, things that they hate. You just want to spend time with them and you just want to get to know them. It's important to do that. Why? Because if you decide to get married, you're about to say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, so you better like who it is. Amen? Amen. So our relationship with Christ is similar. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. At 7 years old, the Holy Spirit came to move inside and live with me. He lives with me always. He's in there. If you're saved, He's in there. He don't go away and come back. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon somebody, and then the Holy Spirit could depart from that person. But when Jesus ascended, and later at Pentecost, when the Spirit came down, He indwelt all the Christians that were there and everybody that believes in Jesus. Instantly, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. So you have a third part of the Trinity living inside of you. But you know something? He's still a gentleman. He's not going to force His way on you. He's going to let you and I choose how much of Him we want to know. We've already been told in the book of John what the job of the Holy Spirit is. To reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Basically, the world, He's going to convict us of all of those things. He's going to teach us and show us things to come. What He hears from the throne room of God, He's going to relay it instantly to us. So He is there and available. If we want to know what's going on in heaven, He is right here to tell us. But you know something? You can live in a house with somebody and have a shut door and never want to speak to them. We choose whether we want to get to know the Holy Spirit or not. That's right. So how do we get to know what God has planned for us? That's the answer. You pray hard and you pray often. Third one is this. We never need to get to the point to where we've completely graduated life. Me and Tammy pick at each other. You know, if one of us knows something and the other one doesn't know it. You know, I don't even know how it got started, but it's a funny little thing that we'll say, well, yeah, but you just don't know everything. You know, if we ever get to the point to where we feel like we know everything, we're in trouble.
Yeah, amen.
We can have a bunch of things out beside the end of our name, a bunch of labels and all that kind of stuff, but if we are not teachable, we are in trouble. I know what you're thinking, and I've got some myself. I got some know-it-alls that I know, don't you? Huh? Come on, let's be honest. You got some know-it-alls that know just enough about everything to be dangerous. We can't live that way. We can be thankful for the knowledge and wisdom that we've gained in life, but we can never get to the point to where we're unteachable. We must always be pliable in the hands of the Master. If we ever get to the point where we feel as though we don't have to study the Word of God anymore, I remember talking to somebody, and man, I cringed. I know he didn't mean it this way, but I cringed when he said it. I was talking about studying. I said, I got to get back to the church, getting ready for church. I think it's maybe a Wednesday night, and it's Wednesday morning. Got to get back to church. I got to study. I got to pray. Got to get ready for service tonight. And his response was, well, man, how long have you been pastoring? I said, I've been pastoring a good bit. You know, I'm pushing 30 years, in the ministry. He said, well, surely you don't have to put as much time in. You can just go in there and look a little something and pray a little bit. And God's just going to give you what you need. And I just kind of grinned and left. I got where he was coming from. But listen, I got to get in that Word all the time. I got to be praying all the time. I got to be reading it because I need him to speak to me. I need him to teach me and to guide me. It's not me and it's not you. We must be dependent on the Spirit of God to know exactly what we need to do in life. So we must be teachable, and we can never be a know-it-all. Joshua in chapter 13, verse 1 says, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art an old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So he's telling Joshua, Joshua, I know you're getting old, but man, I'm telling you something, there's still a lot of work to do. You still need to be listening to me. You still need to be plugged in. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's about us always being teachable, always listening. Just because we think we've mastered a subject doesn't mean there's something, that there can still be something we don't know that we must be taught and we must be instructed on. What about Paul and Peter? Peter was known as a pillar of the church. But you know what? Paul had to call him out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's hanging around with all these Gentiles until he saw some of his Hebrew brethren walk in the door. Then he walked away from them and excluded them from things. Paul had to call him out on that. But the good thing is, Peter, a pillar in the early church. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock, talking about the faith that you shared, this is what I'm building my church on. And he said, when you get back where you need to be, you go strengthen the brethren. I mean, a lot of responsibility on Peter. Peter being a prominent part of the early church, yet he was somebody that knew he had to continue to be teachable, and he needed to let the Holy Spirit speak to him. The last one is this. See, I cut it short. See, I know we had graduation. See, the last one is this. We need to eventually become the example. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 2, I love this. He said, I mean, God sometimes, you know, I think God has just a dry sense of humor sometimes. Don't you just, I mean, God shoots straight. Here's what he said. Well, Moses, my servant, is dead. I mean, it's like, okay, all right. So, now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. We have got to become the example now. There's coming a day when the generation before is not going to be here. What are we going to do? If we are not assuming the role that God has for us in life, we are never going to be able to be beneficial to the kingdom of God in the days that we're about to face. So we've got to become the example. Can't just depend on everybody else to make things right. We can't just sit around and fuss about, well, if the last generation hadn't have done this, we wouldn't be in the fix we're in. Well, if we don't do something about it, we're going to leave it worse for the generation after us. Amen. We can sit around and blame everybody for everything, or we can become a godly example in this world. And that's what God wants us to do. He's calling us out today to stand and be counted. He don't want anybody lazy. Lazy people are going to get nowhere with God. Spiritually lazy people are getting nowhere. It's those that are willing to get their hands dirty, that are willing to work, that are willing to put in the time, that are willing to pray all the time and pray hard and believe God to the point that we're going to act on what the Word of God says. That's what God's expecting out of us. And I hope and pray we are those people, and if we're not, that we will become those people. So where does all that begin? It begins with the relationship with Jesus Christ where it begins. Do you know Him as your Savior? I'm so thankful to know God personally, to have received Christ into my heart. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm thankful to have the confidence of knowing where I'm going when I leave this place. Do you know that? If you don't, then you can't be any of these things we've talked about until you get a hold of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, then listen, the challenge has been made this morning. We've got to make a difference. We've got to choose the life we're going to live. Stand with me as we begin our invitation.